Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We haven't had that many Wizards calls since John Wall put the team on his back and sent us to a Game 7. And now we're getting Wizards calls because John Wall wants out of D.C., and that's the sad truth. We got callers on the line. I'll try to get to you next segment. But right now, joining me on the hotline is my guy, Quentin Mayo of NBC Sports Washington. What up, Quentin?
What is up, Adam? How you doing, my man?
What is up, buddy? How are you handling this Saturday morning? Or maybe even take me back last night, man. Did you cry at all? I shed a tear. I'll say it. I'll scream it. I was pissed off.
I did not shed a tear, but I also have not slept. So there's that. A lot of emotions going on right now, but you know, this is DC, the land of the craziness. And I tried to warn you guys. I came on the fan with 106.7 and joined JP Finley and tried to give him some tidbits and some news about the Wizards, and he tried to ignore it. Now it's no option but to look at the basketball team. I'm just telling you.
Yeah, man, I could have booked JP Finley, you know, but I went Quentin Mayo because the Wizards are on my mind right now. So, Quentin, as you're looking at these moves, let me talk about the positives first. What were some of the positives from free agency so far with Washington?
I mean, the biggest positive is that they did exactly what they wanted to do. They locked up Davis Bertans. 5 years, $80 million, I want to say. It was very advantageous to the team, around $16 million a year. And his contract increases every single year, but it's right in that price range the team was looking to get him for. So the Bogdanovich report that he's probably going to Atlanta, that definitely helped Washington get things done because they were the biggest suitors for Davis' services. But Tommy Shepard turned down multiple first-round pick offers for Davis at the trade deadline last year, said every single day of the offseason that he wanted to lock up Davis and run it back with, you know, who knows who's going to be here, but at least run it back with somebody in Bradley Beal with the Wizards, and he got the job done on the first day of free agency. So that's a big win for the team.
Yeah, who are some other options out there that we could also bring in as free agents? I know Joe Harris was a guy that I had my eyes on, but it looks like he's linked a deal already. I know we need another shooter.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing now is to address the center position. They did sign Robin Lopez yesterday using most of their MLE exception. I said MLE exception. Mid-level exception, excuse me. But they're still looking to get a defender, somebody that can be an athlete, bouncy. Robin Lopez is a good anchor, but he's more for the bench unit. And Chase Hughes, my guy over here in NBC, wrote a really good piece about that earlier today, saying, well, he's also north of 30. This is not a guy who should be getting starter minutes at that position. So you can expect Washington at least to make some other moves for a younger piece, a more athletic piece to protect the paint, and also, you know, set some screens for whoever's running point guard next year or this year for the Wizards.
Yeah, and we'll get to this John Wall situation next, but I got a hard question for you. Only two choices here, and you got to choose one. Rui Hachimura this season, sophomore slump or all-star selection?
Whoa, that's very drastic. You can't just have an above-average season and not be an all-star. Like, I don't think he's going to have a sophomore slump. I think he'll have a good year, but I'm gonna skew this question to my favor and say, he'll have a better year than last year, not an all-star selection, but not a sophomore slump.
All right. I'll accept that answer. Moving on here. So with this John Wall situation, who is there to blame? And is there any way that we can come to a positive solution? I've had a few callers say that Ted Leonsis needs to step in and have a one-on-one sit-down with John Wall, nobody else in the room, and try to clear things up. Who do you blame?
Here's the thing about this situation is that this didn't just happen overnight. My guy Chris Miller reported that, you know, John's party video with him throwing up some stuff at a party, that rubbed the front office the wrong way. Also, comments like John Wall is going to be on a minutes restriction. John Wall is going to be – we're going to build around Bradley Beal. Things of that nature have definitely, you know, hit the ears of John, and he's been like, whoa, this is all news to me. And imagine, you know, in John's situation going – what, it'll be over 700 days on December 22nd, or around 700 days since he's played a basketball game. He's been all in for this season just to get 3 weeks before camp, and you hear your name being linked in a trade. Also, you're getting breaking news to yourself that you haven't gotten from the front office. You're getting it like everybody else that you're on a minutes restriction and that the team is building around Brad. So I think it was just some shock on his end of all these reports coming out right before the season, and I think the Houston deal was – or presumed deal or whatever they were trying to work through, that being leaked by Houston, definitely it rubbed him the wrong way. So if you want to build around Bradley Beal, who's an all-star caliber player, whether he got an all-star selection last year or not, if you want to build around him and do all these things that you've said you've done, you know, the relationship just might have soured over time with John. And if that's how he feels, John is a competitor. He takes it stuff personally too. He's going to carry a chip on his shoulder. You know, you can't really blame him for wanting to go somewhere where he feels valued, and right now he doesn't feel valued in D.C., a team that he basically built 2010.
Yeah, that's the setup here, so let's get some quick-fire responses from you. Real quick, just to start it off, who's the better basketball player, Bradley Beal or John Wall?
I'm going to say Bradley Beal. He's the better basketball player right now. He's been healthier. He's been available, and this is kind of like, I know you say quick here, but this is what have you done for me lately. John is still an absolute phenomenal player, but he hasn't played in 2 years, so it's going to take him a minute to adjust to being back in the NBA hardwood.
Who starts day one at point guard for the Washington Wizards?
Oh, I don't think it's John Wall. I don't know who, but I don't think it's John.
Is this Washington team good enough with a shortened training camp and then a new point guard to make it to the playoffs and have a good season?
I believe so, dependent upon who they trade John for.
Yeah.
I think the addition of Denny is interesting. I think he's an interesting piece that can help now. Robin Lopez is an interesting piece on that defensive end. Also, Davis is back. Brad is back. They have a lot of work to do still. But I think if they bring in a point guard that has to – the contract is going to have to match – close or somewhat close to what John is making, which is around $41 million. So when you get in that range, it's guys like Russell Westbrook or a package to the Knicks that includes something like, you know, Neal Akina, Julius Randle, and Kevin Knox, or maybe Detroit. You get Blake Griffin and D Rose for John.
Wow, I think that's a pretty good win right there. I think everyone seems to be focused on Russell Westbrook because of the rumors that kind of started this whole thing. If Westbrook ends up in Washington, how do you think he works out with the lineup of guys we've got here?
I think Westbrook would work well. I mean, it's a different vibe. Brad's gonna have to adjust to playing with him, but he's a hustler. He's a guy that goes hard every single day. Not saying that John isn't. But this is a guy that's going to give his all wherever he's playing, whether it's in the Thunder, whether it's Houston, wherever he goes, he's going to play hard and in 1,000 miles per hour. He's a walking triple-double. So I believe if he came to D.C. paired with Brad and some other pieces, then, you know, there'll be a very intriguing team in the Eastern Conference and one that could have playoff implications.
All right, let's talk about the draft here, and I want your scouting report on my guy, the Israeli, the Prince of Tel Aviv, Denny Avdija. What are your thoughts on him, and how do you think he can help out the team?
Denny is a guy that, for one, I immediately noticed his swag. He's so cool. He's calm and collected. This guy on Instagram, if you ever go to his Instagram, he's on TikTok. He's a really cool 19-year-old. But after watching his film, he's a guy that's sort of like Troy Brown Jr. He's multifaceted. He can do a lot of things well. He can pass. He can work as a secondary playmaker beside Bradley Beal and John Wall, if Wall is still around. So he's just he's a toolbox guy. Whatever you need him to do, he can do. And he's also extremely long with some – I believe he has better upside on defense than most people think. I watched him play against FC Milan yesterday, and he's really instinctive off the ball, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And also, Scott Brooks likes to switch a lot. His switchability on defense is one of the best I've seen from any of the prospects in this draft, and I don't think it gets enough recognition. So I think he's going to be a good plug-and-play guy that's going to come in and fall right in line to where everybody else needs him to be.
Let's look around the rest of the roster here, and obviously you're not going to count Bradley Beal, but who can be a big X factor for us this season and give us some minutes, some meaningful minutes that we may not expect? Is it Mo Wagner who's going to take another step? Who's that guy?
Oh, that's hard. I think the biggest president is going to be Ish Smith. I mean, yeah, he's a veteran. He's not a young guy, but you're looking at a team that has a point guard problem right now out of nowhere.
And he played a lot of minutes at the stretch end of the season.
Yeah, he played a lot of minutes last year. And the reason why they inked him for a two-year deal two off seasons ago is because they knew that when John came back, he would be the most formidable backup. He's a guy that's arguably quicker and faster than John at this point in John's career. He's a veteran, been in the league for a long time, is excited about the season. So I think they're going to need to lean on Ish Smith even more, especially if they bring a new point guard in here in a short period of time. This camp is not long. There's no summer league, and preseason will be starting on the 11th. Ish Smith knows the offense. He knows Scott Brooks, and he's going to have the responsibility of being a leader on that team as well as helping this offense pick up right where they left off last year.
All right, let's jump around the rest of the NBA. What were the biggest moves that you've liked so far? For me, it's the Lakers. And bringing in Montrezl Harrell, I think that makes them immediately favorites again.
Man, I'm right with you, Awan. Montrezl Harrell was a huge pickup. They got him for the mid-level exception, which is nuts because he could make so much more money other places. But also, that Lakers team, they also added Wesley Matthews for basically, $3 million a year. Wesley Matthews is an awesome piece. And then they got Dennis Schroeder early in the process.
Yeah, Dennis Schroeder's going to be huge for them.
Exactly. So, yes, they might lose Rondo. They might lose KCP. But if you can tell me I could lose Rondo and KCP on a defending champion team and pick up Dennis Schroeder, Montrezl Harrell, and Wesley Matthews, this team looks primed to repeat, at least to get to the finals again. And also that Montrezl move is interesting because who knows if LeBron's going to even play the first half of the season. These guys are having, less than 3-4 months break, rest? If you want to talk about minutes restrictions and workload, AD and LeBron might not play a lot to start the first half of the season. So we'll see how that shakes out.
Yeah, and then I want to talk about a former Wizards player, one of my favorite, is Kelly Oubre. And he was on the move a few times in the past few days. How do you think it could work out with him in Golden State there? I mean, they obviously made that move because of the Klay Thompson injury. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, man, he could really grow into a nice piece there.
I think it's just so interesting to see how, he was once a Washington Wizard and was flipped for Trevor Ariza. And since then, he is only going to teams that are looking to go for it. Respected teams, Western Conference teams that really are in good spots and feel like he can elevate their team. That just shows how good of a player he is. He's evolved into. But it's a good situation for him. Good for him to go to a team like that with an established front office, gets to play alongside Steph and Draymond. He's going to have some good leadership. But also, he adds a lot of athletic ability to that team as well. Especially with Klay being out, he's going to have to improve his shooting. But he's made strides shooting from the perimeter every single season he's been in the league. So I'm just proud of him and happy that he gets an opportunity. I'm the biggest Kelly Oubre lover in the world. It's no shame in my game. So I think I need to go pre-order this Kelly Oubre jersey after we get off this phone call because I need that.
So what do you think about the Eastern Conference? Detroit made a lot of moves. The Sixers have made a few moves. Who's made the best moves, and who do you like in the Eastern Conference with a lot of young teams there? And, of course, Miami is going to be good. The Milwaukee Bucks, that bringing in Jrue Holiday is going to be huge for them. I love how all the smoke, right? Matt Barnes, Steven Jackson, all they do is talk about how underrated Jrue Holiday is, and he's finally on a team here that can actually compete for a title.
Yeah, that's interesting. I saw that Milwaukee, remember they had the botch up with the Bogdan fit. I think if they would have got Bogdan as well as Jrue Holiday, that team, I mean, Giannis would have no choice but to stay. But the fact that Bogdan thing fell through, it's still going to be interesting to see how things shake out in Milwaukee. I'm specifically interested in what Brooklyn does because they're linked to Serge Ibaka. And if you can get Serge Ibaka in Brooklyn, that team, not only do they have the size, they also have the shooting all over the place, and the talent is just so deep. I would pick them to come out of the East right now. But I also love Miami. Miami got Goran Dragic back. They also got Myers Leonard, and they also added another piece that's not fresh in my brain right now, but they definitely have had a good offseason. And any team coached by Eric Spoelstra and Pat Riley over there in the front office, they're always going to be competitive. So you got to keep your eyes on Miami. But the East, Eastern Conference as a whole has gotten better from top to bottom. I mean, yeah. It's not going to be a cakewalk to slide into the AC like it used to be. The Hawks, teams like the Hawks have made a lot of good moves. Detroit, like you said, has added every big in the world. They have to eventually trade for some guards somewhere. But the East in general is strengthening. So Washington has made a couple moves to make them interesting, but they're going to have to get way better if they want to compete. It's not going to be a cakewalk in the East like it used to be.
Yeah, and you mentioned Serge Ibaka. He's a huge piece on the free agent market. I'm really interested to see where he goes. All right, Quentin, really appreciate the time, man. Everyone should follow you at Real Quentin Mayo. Did I get that right, man? Yeah, Real Quentin
Absolutely.
Mayo? All right,
Absolutely.
So before I let you go here, let's get you on the record, though. Where does John Wall end up, and who replaces him? Can they maybe can I get my dreams to come true, and they just have a conversation and talk it out? What's going to happen?
I do think he gets moved. My prediction, if not, if the Houston deal isn't spoiled because of Houston leaking it early, then I think he might land in Houston. Him and James Harden are huge friends, best friends, and you know, they go back like cornrows. So either Houston, I do think the Detroit thing is interesting. They have so many bigs. They have signed or drafted or traded for 5 centers in 3 days. So at some point, you do need a guard. I think that if they're ready to move on from Blake Griffin, a D. Rose and Blake Griffin package in D.C. for John and maybe another filler would be very interesting. But if it's not those two, I think it'll be maybe a 3-team trade. But I do think John's time here, I think it's unfortunately coming to an end.
All right, good stuff, Quentin. I'm Adam Epstein here on The Fan. We'll get to more of your phone calls next. I'm Adam Epstein, and this is 106.7 The Fan. And all I want for Christmas is Washington teams to win. Can I get some Washington sports teams to win a few games? The Washington football team blows it every single week. Either we're going for 2 and we shouldn't, or we give up a 59-yard freaking field goal for the win. And when I thought that was bad, then my point guard asked for a trade. I can't get a win. That's all I want for Christmas. 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to Vic in Accotique. You're on The Fan.
Hey, Wild, what's good, man?
What up, Vic? What are your thoughts, man?
So, I'm going to throw a little tip in about John Wall first.
Okay.
I'm not sad that John Wall wants to be traded. John Wall is super talented, super athletic. He's a rare combination of talent and athleticism. You don't find that much. Some guys are just really super skilled, or they lack a little athleticism, or it's a common, but it's a regular combination of both. But he is drastically underachieved. He is not the leader he should be for this basketball team. He never has been. He has lived off of his ability. And you see it in winning basketball time when he's inefficient, when he is lazy on defense, with his shot selection and decision-making. Yes, he made that shot to take him to Game 7, but he was horrible in Game 7.
Yeah.
He was not prepared to go to that level of high-level basketball when he needed to. And that's why they're investing in Bradley Beal. That's all I got to
but
say.
But, Vic, I don't believe that you're not a little upset and a little sad to see John go.
I could care less, seriously. Listen, I was raised in the time of Jordan and everybody trying to beat Jordan and being perfect or striving to be perfect. And the only compromise to perfection is excellence. I was raised in that time. I was raised in the Kobe and Shaq time. I was raised in a time where the Detroit Pistons that were way less talented just by the top heavy part of the Lakers, and they beat them 4-1. I was raised in that time. So I'm not used to this. I'm 34. I'm not used to this. I'm not that old, but I'm not used to the generation that wants their cake, but they don't want to make the cake. And then you have a problem with people that see that you don't want to make the cake and you use the culture to hide behind the responsibility of what you've taken on as a multi-million-dollar athlete that plays a child's game. So I have no sympathy for that. I wish him well. I hope this provokes him to be the leader that he's supposed to be so he can start competing on a level past the second round, and we'll see where it goes for him.
All right, Vic, my producer told me that you were going to help me transition into the Washington football team here.
Oh, yeah,
and here's what I want to talk about, okay? I want to hear your response to this. As bad as this team has been all year, as bad as we've looked on offense, as terrible as we've been on defense, we are in a perfect position like I've never seen us before to win 2 games in a row, go on a 2-game win streak, and completely rewrite the season.
I don't trust Ron Rivera. right now.
Okay.
So I wouldn't bet my money on that. Ron Rivera is being a, you know how the, when we were in school, you have a principal that they say all the right things. They use all the right terminology. They have all the buzzwords.
Mm-hmm.
They speak transparently at times with staff and community stakeholders and all the rest of that. But they're never there. Or they're there in their comfortable space, and they're not really hands-on as they could be to raise the level of accountability. That's what I see when I see Ron Rivera right now. Yes, you know, God bless his soul. You know, he beat cancer, and that's amazing. That's an amazing feat for anybody. That's an amazing feat for anybody. And in the same breath, you still signed a contract for 5 years for a multi-million dollar earnings. So I need you to do to embody what you talk about, Ron. And this is why I can't expect us to win two games, because you still haven't held your number one draft pick accountable to stop dancing around in the locker room, making videos on Instagram, when you only have 2.5 sacks from the first game of the season. You're not using your hands to get off the ball on the pass rush, and you keep making mental mistakes,
yeah.
All sides here, all sides there.
Right.
Rushing upfield, leaving the gaps open. That's just a small thing I'm talking about. So when I see you holding the rest of the team accountable and the rest of the team to a standard that you talk about with such conviction, then I may believe that we have the opportunity to win some more games right now. Because I agree that you should have benched Dwayne Haskins, because Dwayne Haskins was not doing what you say your team should be doing. Attention to detail, level of excellence, being consistent, doing the little things. Studying film, all the things you said Dwayne Haskins should be doing, your defense isn't doing it. But Jack Del Rio has such a great name, so they're going to be excited to play for this guy and feel a lore behind what he says to them. Get out of here with that crap. Jack Del Rio got more mistakes on that defense than a first-grade class got in the first day of school. And you know how I know the defense is really talented? Because they're still ranked top 10. So what would they be if they actually were being held accountable by the head coach? That would trickle down to the defensive coordinator. And you know how I know that's their talented? Because their defensive secondary is number 2 in the NFL. So don't tell me they're not talented, junkies. Don't tell me they're not talented, junkies. I want you to hear me when I say that. So I don't believe they're going to win two games until Ron Rivera can show me that he's actually going to coach the team. This is why Jimmy
Johnson. Vic, I got phone lines locked here, man. Hey, good stuff, man. Good call. I want to hear from you again next week. Let's keep it going. Let's go to Rob in Yorktown. Rob, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Wad, what's happening?
What up, Rob? What do you think, man? Am I right? Can Washington win two games in a row?
I think they can, and I think that they should, and I'm part of this group of people that has unbridled optimism for Washington and their football team. Awad, I know that you're a part of that group, but I think that people aren't giving Riverboat Ron enough credit. I know that the team hasn't done as well as anybody wanted them to do, but he's a first-year head coach on this team. I know he's a good head coach, and I don't think people give him enough credit. It's only been, 8, 9, 10 weeks in the season? And this is year one. I don't know why people are bailing on Riverboat Ron right now. He's tough as hell, and he has fought beat cancer. So
it comes down to that 2-point conversion, man. It comes down to him going for two and missing it. If he goes for two there and he makes that, everyone's talking about Riverboat Ron as a hero.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I think not making that play doesn't make a difference in the season, given the pandemic, given everything that's going on. I don't think my personal expectations for the season were super high to begin with. I just want to continue to get better. And, you know, if Riverboat Ron is changing the culture, then that's great. I don't mind the dancing in the locker room. I don't mind having fun. I want this team to have fun because, you know, when you play happy, you play better. And if you hate your job and you hate what you do, you're not going to like playing where you want to play. And I think Riverboat Ron is making D.C. a destination that players might want to come to soon. And I think that the problem that the fan base has, and that this is why we don't play well, is because the players don't want to play for these fans all the time. Sometimes they do, sure. But I think that the big problem is that we don't give our coaches enough time when we get them right away to be good. It's like, we're not good this year. We got to get rid of Riverboat Ron because he doesn't know what he's doing. It just frustrates me.
All right, good call, man. Let's keep it going. One last caller here before we break. Let's go to Jeff in Fairfax. Jeff, you're on the Fan.
Hey, buddy. How are you?
Good, man.
I tweeted you earlier about Theo's call in D.C. That was a great call, but I wanted to call about the Washington football team now. So what is your take? I mean, I'm kind of middle of the road. I'd like to see us win the division, but at the same time, I know we need offensive line help in the draft. So I'm kind of on the side of, you know, let's let the season play out, but let's not go for the division. What's your take?
So my thought is that no matter where you finish, if you have a good scouting report or a good scouting department, you can do well in the draft. So I don't think, you know, making the playoffs or not making the playoffs should affect, you know, us getting some good offensive linemen and some secondary help in the offseason. But I do think that this division is so bad. These next two games put us in a perfect position to be tied for first place. You couldn't ask for it any better. Cincinnati and Joe Burrow have struggled all season. And then you got the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. I'm eating turkey legs and watching us win. I guarantee that, dude. So I feel great about us getting a chance here. And even if we make the playoffs and get destroyed in the first round, at least you got your team a little more experience.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, if we lose to Cincinnati this Sunday, I'm pretty much gonna go with the tanking option. But if we win and we look good and Alex Smith can continue to look the way he's looked, then hey, maybe we got a shot.
Yeah, so. No, you know, Alex Smith has been excellent. Like I even wrote it down here. Alex Smith has been cooking. Alex Smith has been cooking. And I'm getting hungry. I'm Adam Epstein on the Fan. More phone calls next. The Bengals by 7 points. And then on Thanksgiving, I'm gonna be stuffing myself with stuffing, macaroni, mashed potatoes, and green beans. I already told my dad, those are the sides I want. I also want turkey, and I want a little bit of ham. And I'm going to watch the Washington football team win again. And we're going to be on a two-game win streak. We're going to be tied for first in the division. Come on, baby. Come on, man. Let that happen. Let it come true. I'm Adam Epstein here on 106.7 The Fan. The number is 1-800-636-1067. Let's get some of your guys' thoughts on the team. Let's go to Alex in Alexandria. You're on the Fan with Adam Epstein.
Hey, Adam. I enjoy the show. I really like your energy.
Thank you.
I want to know if you agree or disagree with what EB said on Wednesday morning.
Okay.
After McLaurin's botched fumble, would McLaurin be an average player if he was on a great team, or is he just standing out now because he's on a sour team? What do you think?
No, I think Terry McLaurin is absolutely a number one wide receiver in the NFL. Larry Fitzgerald doesn't come out and say that these guys is a young budding superstar for no reason. His route running is incredible. His speed is next level, and we haven't seen him drop a pass yet, I don't think, in a Washington uniform. Yes, he had that terrible fumble. Yes, that probably was a big reason why we lost the game, but so was him beating the defenders deep to the week before. Terry McLaurin is a number one wide receiver, and he's going to be a number one in Washington for 10 years.
Okay.
You like that?
All right, man. Yeah, I do. Hey, actually, the next time I see you or Darius out of Glory Days Centerville, you tell Darius I'll buy him whatever he wants. I enjoy the show that much.
Awesome,
right,
man.
Have a good Thanksgiving.
I appreciate it. You too, man. 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to Kevin in Austin, Texas. You're on the Fan.
What's good, fella? Glad to be back. I want to jump on that. I think Terry McLaurin, I mean, he's fourth in the league in receiving yards. Yeah, he had one huge, crucial bad fumble. We'll give him that. Our star players are allowed to do that. He's our only offense. But I'm honestly more excited for Alex Smith. This is what we wanted Alex Smith to do when we had him 2 years ago.
Yeah.
He's going long. He's finally throwing like 300, 400 yards in a game. Come on.
Yeah, so let's hone in on that. Do you think was Jay Gruden's offense – because it was Jay Gruden with Alex Smith, right? Was Jay Gruden's offense just not...
It was Jay Gruden, yeah.
Was Jay Gruden's offense just not built for Alex Smith? Or is it that, you know, Scott Turner, because he throws to the running backs and so many quick passes, that it's built perfect for Alex Smith?
I think Scott Turner's offense is just more of a West Coast offense that, like, Alex Smith could adapt to, kind of what he was doing down in San Francisco back when he was, like, you know, making Pro Bowls and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Look, he's finally using his wide receivers. His running game is Antonio Gibson is there when he needs him, but, like, not enough offensive line for anything to really happen. He's duking and dodging. So Smith has to go to his gun, and he has an all maybe not an all-pro receiver, but a pro bowler on the rise. Devlin McLaurin's making the Pro Bowl. He's our only player on offense that can do anything right now. I think if we add two more pieces on offense, a tight end and a wide receiver, we can compete.
All right, so let me ask you this, though. I just said it. I think Washington wins two games in a row, and we're looking at a matchup with the Steelers on December 6th, where we're tied for first place in the division. We probably lose that game, but I think we give ourselves a chance to be tied for first place with about six games left. What do you think?
It is interesting because we're basically giving Alex Smith the rest of the season he didn't get when he was in first place. And now we're tied. Now we're all in the worst division ever. Alex Smith, you have the keys to the Cadillac. Let's see what you can do, buddy. Okay, you got a couple of easy games, then you play literally the best team in the NFL. What if Washington finally beat the Steelers for the first time in you and I's lifetime? Since we've been alive in the year 1993, 1992, the Washington football team, Skins, whatever, haven't beaten the Steelers. I'm ready for it this year. Da, 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 da.
Kevin, me and you go back and forth on Twitter. You're at Kevin Confetti on Twitter. And because I know you're a fan, I'm going to give you my keys to victory right now versus Detroit.
Give me the keys, Adam. Give me the keys.
Number one, early score for the offense. Need to get ahead. Need to get ahead. Doesn't matter if it's just 3 points and a field goal. Need to get points on the board first. We have to allow the defense to play with a lead. Let Chase Young and Montez Sweat get after the quarterback. Hopefully we can create a turnover with Joe Burrow. If Washington football can get on offense and go right down the field and put up points, it establishes a game plan that we can do a nice mix of run and play action throughout the game and take shots downfield. We have to put ourselves in scoring position on that first drive. And Justin Hopkins got to make field goals, right, dude?
Justin Hopkins, I mean, as long as we've been alive, we've had shaky field goal kickers. I know we have to rely on them. And yes, we would have probably beaten the Lions in overtime if Justin Hopkins had the field goal. But I remiss. We need to establish an air game, and Alex Smith can't turn the ball over. But yeah, Joey B, I don't know. It's going to be a good matchup between him and Chase Young. I want to see who outdoes each other.
Yep, and my key number two is no deep balls from Joe Burrow. He's going to try to hit us with the home run. It's what he's done all season. We have to contain him from going deep. Washington secondary needs to play better. I mean, against Detroit, Washington's best defender by far throughout the season has been Kendall Fuller. He got burnt deep twice. Twice, both in the first half, which made it almost impossible to come back and win. Let's go to Steve in Houston. Steve, you're on the fan.
Hey, what's up, Iwan?
What's up, man?
Hey, man. These next two games, I've got us going. We at least going to split. So what are we, 2-7 now? Just looked it up.
Yeah.
So we'll be, what's that, if we split, 3-8?
Yeah.
So I got us going 3-8.
See, the thing is I just see us, there's no way in hell the Cowboys are going to beat us on Thanksgiving with some no-name as their quarterback. Dak Prescott's gone. He's out of the picture, man. We're not losing to Cowboys.
Andy Dalton, is that bad?
Andy Dalton's dealing with a concussion, with COVID, with a hurt ankle. His pinky toe's messed up. I don't think his fingers are feeling right. He's got to crack his knuckles. Andy Dalton's dealing with 1,000 things. I think we destroy them.
Gotcha. Okay, yeah. No, I got us beating the Cowboys again, and I got us losing to Cincy. And,
okay.
You know, shout out to the caller who called. He went on a bit of a rant there. I think you asked him the John Wall question as well, and then he went into – I think Chase Young dancing. Now, I haven't seen the Chase Young dancing on video. I'll have to search for that. But, you know, and it's funny, you know, Chase Young is a domestic guy. I'm a Carroll guy. So, high school, right? Yeah. So, but I still show him love because he plays for the Skins or, you know, Britain or Washington.
Yeah. No, but the thing was, the caller did make a good point, which was that Chase Young's penalty for roughing the passer was a huge reason for that loss.
Dude, that cost the game. Mm-hmm. See, this one I don't like. When people keep saying Hopkins missing that field goal earlier, you got to understand the math and the logic. We made up for that. We came back and tied the game. You know, so that Chase Young play, that bonehead penalty definitely did kill it because that at least lost us the opportunity to go into OT and, you know, to see if we could beat them head up in OT. But I got us losing against Cincy. And I'm hearing that Cincy is, like, they're in the top three of most quarterback sacks. And I forget another sack record. But watch this D-line with all of these number one draft picks still don't show up against Cincy. Can you believe that Joe Burrow is the second most sacked quarterback or the third most sacked quarterback, and watch me come away with two sacks or something. And then at some point, I know Chase Young is still learning, but we got to start seeing some numbers. We got to start seeing some more impact from him. I'm still with him. He's not a bust. Mm-hmm. He's still a great talent. But I want to see, and it's not just about Chase Young. It's not. It wouldn't be fair to just single him out. But I know the pressure's on him because of all of the generational hype, talent talk. But these other guys got to show up, who I've pretty much blown the coop on. I got a little bit of hope for Deron Payne, but Jonathan Allen, he can go just like John Wall and get up out of here.
Man. See, man, that's where I disagree, is that I think that this Washington team beats the Bengals, and a lot of that is because of the momentum. The second half versus Detroit, we looked like a completely different team. We drove right down the field, and we made up 21 points in 11 minutes, I believe. Look at that momentum. It's going to carry forward. I got Washington winning, and I got one more segment to tell you why here on The Fan. I'm Adam Epstein here on 106.7 The Fan. I'm going to tell you why Washington football team is going to beat the Cincinnati Bengals. I told you my keys to victory, number one and number two, early score for the offense, and don't let Joe Burrow go deep. Number three, I want to run the ball for 100 yards. Now, this can be a combo of J.D. McKissic and Antonio Gibson, but Washington's offense needs to be able to hand the ball off 25 to 30 times a game for 100 yards. You can't have Alex Smith throwing 50 times. It's vital that they are able to get the running backs involved in the offense without throwing to them, because that's how you make them more of a threat in the passing game, if you ever to hand the ball off to them for 6 or 7 yards every once in a while. We know we want to run the screens. We know we want to dump it off in the flat. All that becomes more open, and you give them more space if the running game is even remotely successful. Pete Haley is a guy that I've had on my show a few times from NBC Sports Washington, and he's part of the Washington Football Talk podcast, which I'm a big fan of. Through 9 matchups, he says, Washington has faced an average halftime deficit of 8.4 points. We've got to score first, and we've got to score often. My final score prediction is 27-20, Washington wins. I think Washington gets off to an early 10-0 lead, and that dictates the way the first half goes. I do think Cincinnati will do a good job of coming out of the second half hot and making it a ball game, but I've got Alex Smith. Yes, Alex Smith leading Washington to a fourth quarter game-winning drive and a 27-20 victory. And why does this game matter so much? Why? Because we're basically sitting on a 2-game win streak. It has to happen. And in a division where 2 games could shift you from last to first, Washington is taking on a rookie quarterback for a team that's struggling mightily. And then following that on Thanksgiving, the matchup with our biggest rivalry in the division, who's dealing with even worse situation at quarterback. There you are, a 2-game win streak staring Washington in the face. Will we succeed or will we crumble? That's the question. But the setup is right there. You played a great second half versus Detroit, tied the game, and you really deserved a shot to win in overtime. But a lucky 59-yard field goal attempt changed that. Well, now you can change your fortunes this season with 2 weeks in a row, 2 wins in a row. It's set up for us to succeed in Washington. We're not going to lose to the Bengals. Come out, use the momentum you built in that Lions game, put points on the field, build a lead, give your running backs a chance to seal the game on the ground. We're just looking at a 2-game stretch that's the most winnable stretch of the entire season. The defense needs to freaking light a fire under their ass and get after the quarterback. Sack Joe Burrow. Force some quick throws out of him. I'm not ready to talk playoffs yet, guys. But if Washington can win 2 games in a row here, it becomes a conversation at least December 1st. It becomes a conversation. But we've got to handle our business right now. We're 2-7, and the Eagles are sitting in first place at 3-5-1. And the Eagles are going to lose again this weekend. They just are. All right, we got one more minute in the show here. I'll give you my NFL picks. If you're a betting man out there, I'm hot, so trust me. Eagles versus Browns. Never picked the NFC East to win. I got the Eagles to lose by a field goal. Falcons versus Saints. That's my upset of the week. Falcons have looked solid since Raheem Morris took over, and I don't think Sean Payton and Taysom Hill is going to win any games. I think that's a terrible move by the Saints. The Lions versus Panthers. I think the Lions win because DeAndre Swift had 150 yards against Washington, and he is hot right now. Steelers, Jags, Steelers stay undefeated. Titans, Ravens, that's going to be a close one, but I think the Ravens get revenge for last year's playoff loss. Patriots versus Texans. Stick with the Pats. They're hot. Dolphins, Broncos. Dolphins are the hottest team in the league. They'll be making the playoffs this year. Jets versus Chargers. Ugliest game of the week. Chargers win. Packers versus Colts. I put a lot of money on the Packers, so I'm hoping they win there. Vikings versus Cowboys. Dalvin Cook, incredible season. He gets the win. Chiefs, Raiders, Mahomes, revenge game. Monday Night Football. I got Sean McVay and the Rams beating the Bucks. I'm Adam Epstein. Thanks for listening to 106.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.